Hello, this is David Dickens, and today we are kicking off a three-part series, Retirement Questions That Every Generation Is Asking. So over the next three podcasts, we're going to cover the key questions that I get a lot in my office from baby boomers. The next session will be Gen X, and the third section will be millennials. Hopefully there's something in here for everybody, and if you're a boomer and you have a millennial in your life, forward the podcast to them. I'm going to go get Walter, and let's have a little bit of fun with this first topic.
Do you need help protecting your finances as you enter retirement? David Dickens of KC Financial Advisors has got you covered. Welcome to the Cover Your Assets KC podcast.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Cover Your Assets KC. Walter Storholt here alongside David Dickens, and we've got that great show on the way for you today. Start of a three-part series. So, David, I know you're excited to jump in here a little bit, talk baby boomers today, and we'll get on to Generation X and the millennial group in future episodes as well. And this is important to talk about, right? Because every generation is going to face different challenges, have different priorities, different things that are going to be top of mind for them. And so it's going to kind of make the planning process a little bit different depending on where you fall in those brackets, I would imagine.
It is. It's very different. So most of our clients are baby boomers, but that's now the youngest baby boomer just turned 60. So we certainly have clients that are younger than 60. And, you know, the millennials, we're talking the age 28 to 43. So they are, I have very few clients in that age bracket, but we'll knock through some really good questions for each of those other two. But today, yeah, the baby boomers, they're right in the heart of it. And the questions are, the questions we're going to talk about, six of them, are super common. And my answers are going to be pulled from things that we talk about in my office. But this is the go zone for baby boomers. If you don't have a plan by now, you are way behind. And hopefully these six questions will help you formulate an idea of, I am so on top of this, or, I better get busy.
Beautiful. So if you were born in, 44-ish time frame, 1944-ish or later, you're kind of most likely falling into that baby boomer category. So this is going to be sort of that conversation that shapes up for you a little bit and the questions that you need to ask. And that's kind of amazing to think about, David, that the youngest baby boomers are already 60 now.
I know. And it seems like, so I'm a little older than that. All of my siblings are in the baby boomer category. And boomers have been turning 65 for a while now in big numbers. And we're all living longer, which causes a lot of these questions to be more acute than they used to be, you know, back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s when life expectancy was a lot shorter. So hopefully every listener that we have that's in this category has really good answers to every one of these questions. But if they don't, it should be a good reminder that, okay, I need to prioritize that and that and that to get questions to make my retirement that much more comfortable and to make me that much more confident.
All right, very good. So six specific questions that baby boomers should be thinking about and asking. Where do you want to start, David?
I get a lot of questions about how much market volatility should I have as I approach retirement? And so a super good question. In your 30s and 40s, I usually recommend so I guess, Walter, we should preface this by saying nothing we say today here is specific advice to any listener. These are generic, six really good generic questions that I get a lot in my office. And the answers I'm going to give are high-level thought provokers for you, but they're not advice for you as a boomer. So I do have a lot of people that say, all right, in my 30s, 40s, sometimes in your 50s, I had a lot invested in the stock market. But now, as I get a little closer to retirement or in retirement, I'm kind of feeling like I'm over that. And then they look at me and go, is that normal? And based on my experience with my broad subset of clients, it's very normal that you get into retirement, you've had your ups and downs in the market. And most of my clients are just not willing to ride that 25 or 35 or 45% downturn and then wait for it to come back over 5 years. Because now, instead of dollar cost averaging into their 401ks and their IRAs, they're actually reverse dollar cost averaging. They're taking money out of those accounts And so when the market goes down, you're actually selling things at a loss to provide for your retirement income. So again, most of my clients, they do reduce risk because their thought is, okay, well, I need this money now. I'm no longer in the accumulation phase. But I will say I have a couple of clients that I would classify as independently wealthy. And what we've done together is identify a pot of money that they will never need. And as long as they convince me that they're going to be, that they aren't going to get emotional about a 20 or 30, 40% downturn, I'm convinced they're going to be better off with that pot of money. Their heirs are going to be better off with that pot of money just being fully invested and not worrying about the ups and downs in the market. So there are nuances to this question, but basically everybody I work with has reduced risk tolerance as they get further and further into retirement. So that's totally normal.
Really good question to ask. And I think, yeah, risk, volatility, all of those things are going to be maybe lower down the priority list for other generations, but sure smack dab right up there at the top for baby boomers. And you can certainly see why. What else comes to mind when you're thinking about baby boomers and their specific questions?
So I get this question a lot. It is basically, what's the best approach for transitioning to having a steady paycheck to retirement account withdrawals? And so the first step is knowing how much you need out of your retirement accounts. And that basically requires you to have a base budget, a base retirement budget. So you know how much you're supposed to be, that you say you want to spend every month. You've got your Social Security. Maybe you have a spousal Social Security. Maybe you've got a pension. And then you have a shortfall. And that's the amount of money that you want to set up. What I do for clients is I set them up with a systematic deposit in from their IRA into their checking account, kind of like a retirement paycheck. Well, if they get to the end of every month and they're short, well, then their base budget is not correct. They're spending more than they think they are, and they need to revisit that budget. Sometimes they come up with extra money every month. Well, that's great. Maybe that's fund money or however you want to classify it. But you have to start with a base budget and then just set yourself up with some systematic withdrawals out of your IRA into your checking account, and it kind of puts a big piece of your retirement on autopilot. The thing that you need to do before you do any of that, well, hopefully you have a base budget already set up, but what you really need to do is roll the money out of your 401ks, your 403bs, maybe you have a 457, and into an IRA rollover. When you get to retirement, I can think of almost no reasons why you would want to have three or four or five different 401k, 403b IRAs out there. The simplest, and I would argue the best way to manage that, is to consolidate into one IRA rollover and organize your retirement income out of that. It gives you a lot more investment flexibility. It gives you really quick access to your money as opposed to calling a 401k company and trying to get money out of them.
That's really big, I think, too. Systematic is great for a lot of things in life. Systems keep us on track and no different when it comes to savings.
Yeah, it's terrific when you're building your wealth, and it's terrific when you are spending your wealth. And frankly, that's why you saved up all that money during your working years, was to have access to and spend it on the retirement that you had envisioned all those years.
Excellent. All right. What's next on the agenda?
So I get a lot of questions about the rising cost of healthcare and how that fits into somebody's retirement plan. So I would say that a couple things on this. I would get some really good advice on whether or not you are going to use a Medicare supplement or Medicare Advantage. And that's going to have a lot to do with how much you spend on your Medicare every month, like you do on healthcare premiums now, and how much you spend once you have a medical issue or a problem. And they differ based on the type of Medicare you choose. I regularly admit, in fact, once I get around to Medicare age, I'm going to go to a consultant, because the way my wife and I use medicine is totally different. And so she may take one type of Medicare and I might take another kind. But I need to get some good advice from somebody who's a real expert. And I will admit on this podcast, I am not a real expert on Medicare. I am really conversant in it, but I'm not even going to take my own advice on Medicare. The second thing you can do, and I have more than a handful of clients that have done this, we have purchased for them a life insurance policy that has an accelerated death benefit for long-term care. So if you are concerned that you're going to need long-term care in the future, which, I mean, these days in Kansas and Missouri is about $90,000 a year, and 15 or 20 years from now when you're going to need it, it's going to be a lot more expensive than that. So there's a type of life insurance policy out there that will accelerate the death benefit to you if you end up needing long-term care. And if you don't, then when you die, that death benefit goes tax-free to your heirs. So I think it's a terrific way to offset the risk of needing long-term care without paying monthly or annual premiums to a long-term care company that is basically use it or lose it. So it is a rising costs of healthcare are going to be a bigger and bigger problem as all of us baby boomers tend to live longer. And as medicines get bigger, get better, they also get, the price of them gets bigger. So that is an issue. It needs to be in your plan somewhere. I would not address it by ignoring it. I would just, whatever your plan looks like, whatever your retirement plan looks like, make sure you've got a line item in there for healthcare and long-term care and do something about it. Passively or actively, make sure you address it.
All right, very good. So we have covered a couple of the questions so far. Baby boomers, are you starting to think, oh boy, I've got some really important questions here that I need to address, and maybe I haven't done that yet? Be sure to reach out to David if you have any questions on your mind about preparing for retirement. If you've never been through a full-blown planning process, time to get that CPR review, that complete planning review of your finances. You can get in touch with David at 913-317-1414 or go online to coveryourassetskc.com. We've got contact information in the description of today's show, so you can find it easily as well. Figured we might just need a breather there, David, to catch our breath so we can make sure people kind of wrap their head around these next important questions to ask for baby boomers.
Yeah, so number four, so we're halfway. Number four is, what's the best way to pass on wealth to my heirs without sacrificing my own retirement?
Hmm.
So that's a terrific question. The answer is live within your means. Ben Franklin, one of my favorite quotes from him was, There are two ways to build wealth, earn more or spend less. And if you want to build wealth quickly, do both at the same time.
So, sure, which sounds, you know, easy, doesn't it?
makes obvious sense if you can build it into your own life and lifestyle. But when you're retired, a lot of it really boils down to two things. Live within your means, so don't outspend your plan. And don't take outsized investment risks with the money that you're going to actually need. So back up in the, I think it was the first question, I mentioned that I've got a couple of independently wealthy clients, and we have a portion of their investment portfolio in, it's just at risk, and we're not even looking at it. And that's the money that they are not going to need in retirement. But let's say, I have a lot of clients that aren't sure that they have any money that they're not going to need in retirement. So consequently, what we make sure we do is we don't take outsized or oversized investment risk with that money. We take just enough risk to make sure that they're not going to run out of money, but that they don't run out of money based on a long bear market or a stupid investment decision. So that's a fine line to walk. Everybody would identify a stupid investment risk in a different way. And so it's important for you to understand what your risk tolerance is and what your emotions do when the market does take one of those 20 or 30 or 40% downturns. And if you're inclined to do something silly with your investments when they're down 30%, in other words, sell them, then you probably have too much risk in your portfolio right now. And with the markets near all-time high, this might be a really great time to rebalance a little bit away from risk instead of toward risk.
That's a really good one, and I think one that people should definitely spend time talking, not only to themselves, pondering that big question, but, boy, one that couples definitely need to be on the same page about, too. I can definitely see that incongruency there, perhaps, to how much to leave behind and how much to sacrifice your own retirement years to benefit that next generation. You never know when folks are or aren't going to see eye to eye on those sorts of items. All right, what's next on the agenda?
So number five is, the best way to maximize my Social Security benefits for a more secure retirement. So there's some nuance here, and we've certainly covered this in various podcasts, but I ran a schedule out of our Social Security Maximizer software right before we did this podcast. So I'm going to give you an example. This is a couple who is right around 65. They're trying to decide whether to take, and their full retirement age is a little bit less than 67. And everybody that listens to this podcast knows that your Social Security doesn't get any better after age 70. So this couple's question is, do we start when we fully retire or do we wait till 70? And what are the key questions or decisioning points? So this couple, let me give you the husband was the full-time worker. The wife spent some time in the workforce, but she wasn't a primary earner for that family. So for instance, this gentleman's, when he fully retires, when he becomes of full retirement age in Social Security's eyes, his benefit would be about $3,700 a month. But if he waits to age 70, it goes to up to about $4,900 a month. $3,700 a month to $4,900 a month is a pretty big jump. And what he and his wife knows is, if he dies first, which is statistically likely, she's going to lose her Social Security, but she's going to get his. And getting more when you're a widow or a widower is a good thing. What they also know from this analysis that I just printed out for them is that their break-even point is about age 81. So here's what that means. If they start at age 67, they're going to have received a couple of $100,000 of Social Security income ahead of if they waited till age 70. So they have a head start, and that head start doesn't evaporate until age 81. So they get more money every month by waiting. But what if they don't make it to age 81? And that's where in the past I've referred to Social Security as being actuarially sound. And what that means is, at some point in each individual's life, depending on how the other numbers fall out, there's going to be a point where it didn't matter whether you took it early or late. You get the same dollar amount of money out of Social Security. And if you live longer, usually past 81, 82, 83 years old, you are going to get more money out of Social Security if you wait until age 70. So this couple, we actually had this discussion in the last 3 or 4 months, and they're going to wait. They probably won't wait till 70. They'll probably take it at 68. One of the couple is still wanting to work a little bit longer. So they're just going to wait till she retires fully, and then they're going to start Social Security, but they're not going to wait till 70. A variety of different reasons regarding what else is going on in their asset pool. But that's what they've decided. There is no, if we knew exactly when everybody was going to die, then we would know exactly when to start your Social Security to get the most out of it, but we don't know that. So, and there's, you know, we've talked in other podcasts, there are some good reasons why you might start at 62 or 63 or 64, but generally speaking, the vast majority of my clients want to wait till 67 and maybe wait till 70. And that's a decision that hopefully some numbers out of some really good software helps them identify what's the best path for them.
Social Security, definitely one of those big pieces of the retirement planning puzzle. No wonder it is on this list. Well, we've gotten to number six, David. So what's our final question that baby boomers should be thinking about and asking and keeping at the top of their minds?
Yeah, so this is a super common one for me. It's, should I consider downsizing or even relocating in retirement? And so the answer is a definite maybe. And I'm gonna split the map between downsizing and relocating. So downsizing, well, if you don't have any mortgage, you still have the costs of taxes, repairs, maybe some big energy bills, depending on the size of the house that you're in. So those could be good. You know, there are some really good reasons for downsizing, whether you have a mortgage or not. One that I just recently talked through with a client couple was their house does not have a master bedroom on the first floor. And they're thinking, well, in our late 60s, that's fine. But in our late 70s, probably not so much. And so that was their key driver to saying, maybe we should relocate. And they're in the process of looking at that, of downsizing, I should say. I have more clients, but I picked out two ideas about relocating. I have one set of clients. They were in the Missouri, they were educators in Missouri, and they get nice pensions from the state of Missouri. And for a while, they lived their retirement in Kansas. And Kansas taxes that just like any other pension. But if you move to Missouri, Missouri does not tax your Missouri teacher's pension account. So a couple years ago, they moved to Missouri and saved themselves a lot of money by not having that tax dollar go out to Jeff City or to Topeka. Now they don't owe taxes on those pensions that they have. I have another couple that recently moved to Florida. Very cool retirement community. They built a house in Florida, Texas, a couple of other states. They don't tax, not only do they not tax your Social Security income, but they don't tax your income. And so then the question this couple had to answer is, Florida's getting the money from somewhere. Are our real estate taxes going to be way higher than they were in Kansas, such that we're really paying the same thing? Their answer was, no, that's not going to happen. And by the way, we'd rather live in Florida than Kansas. So good for them. They made a good financial decision. They also made a good lifestyle decision. And so whenever I get this type of question from clients, a lot of it really boils down to lifestyle. If you got that second floor master bedroom, maybe that's not the lifestyle you want to carry on for your next 15 years while you want to stay in your home in retirement. You just don't want to be climbing stairs all the time. So in a lot of respects, that's a lifestyle question in retirement and not necessarily a financial, although they certainly have financial implications.
Definitely makes sense to split that question kind of into those two segments, and the direction that you choose in each of those arenas can definitely have big impacts on your finances and retirement lifestyle. So these are why some of these questions were on this list and top of mind for baby boomers. And just a reminder, we're going to break down Generation X on the next episode. So if you fall into that category, wonderful. We'll cover you next episode. And the one after that, we'll hit millennials. And so even if you aren't a millennial, you might have children who are millennials. And so some of the advice that you pick up in that later episode will be applicable to them. And you might be able to pass along the episode to them or share some of that guidance with them as well. If you have questions,
those lines, Walter,
yeah, go ahead, David.
I know we have younger listeners to this, and maybe you have a stubborn parent who is a baby boomer.
That's right. Reverse that.
But doesn't listen to podcasts. If you think this is valuable to them, well, forward it on, have them listen to it. And maybe they'll hear something in there that's valuable to them. If we can help them, we'd love to do that. Maybe they've got an advisor and they should just have these types of conversations with their existing advisor. Either way, I hope this is helpful to a broad group of people.
Absolutely. If you've got questions for David and want to extend this conversation and get a more customized approach to your planning situation, pick up the phone, give him a call at 913-317-1414, or you can go online to coveryourassetskc.com. Contact information in the description of today's show so you can find it easily. For David Dickens, I'm Walter Storholt, and we will talk to you next time right back here on Cover Your Assets KC. Advisory services offered through Creative One Wealth LLC, an investment advisor. KC Financial Advisors and Creative One Wealth LLC are not affiliated. We are an independent financial services firm helping individuals create retirement strategies using a variety of insurance products to custom suit their needs and objectives. The information and opinions contained in this program have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. They are given for informational purposes only and are not a solicitation to buy or sell any of the products mentioned. The information is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. This material material has been provided by a licensed insurance professional for informational and educational purposes only and is not endorsed or affiliated with the Social Security Administration or any government agency. It is not intended to provide and should not be relied upon for accounting, legal, tax, or investment advice.